What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use here on this Sunday morning on WTIC News Talk 1080. I am Ann Baldwin, and it's good to have you along with us today. And I'm excited to have in the studio, in the house, as we say, Yolanda Ortiz. Yolanda, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me here.
Of course. So I'm so excited to have in the house today Yolanda Ortiz. She is with the Connecticut Council of Family Service Agencies and also the VOCA Regional Coordinator for Statewide Victims of Crime Case Management Programs. So that's a lot. So what, in layman's terms, what is your role, Yolanda?
So my role is to make sure that victims get connected to services. So basically that's what it is. I coordinate it. So we get referrals that come in statewide from anyone who's been victimized from, let's say, bullying, identity theft, domestic violence, human trafficking. And so those referrals come into our database real time. And as soon as I get them, I make sure that they're connected to a case manager in the region that they live in and that that case manager is connecting to that client within 72 business hours.
So let's talk a little bit about CCFA. All right. So what does CCFA stand for?
CCFSA is the Connecticut Council Family Service Agency. We're a nonprofit organization in Rocky Hill, Connecticut. We've been around for over 30 something years. And when you think of us as an umbrella, a network. We have family service agencies under us throughout the entire state. And they're the ones who basically deliver all the services to the communities and the people in the state of Connecticut. And then one of our programs is the VOCA program.
Okay. So people have, and I know that you cover a lot of different things when it comes to victims of crime. Let's kind of just go through those. When I saw the list, you know, when I was on your website, there's just so many things that go on in our world and people need assistance, right?
Absolutely.
They need to know where to go. And it's everything from elder abuse and neglect. You've got hate crimes. You know, one that you already hit on that I just still can't even believe is so real is human trafficking. What are some of the other areas that you assist victims with?
Teen dating victimization. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in high schools. You have stalking, harassment, hate crimes, elder abuse and neglect, child abuse, even individuals who may have been abused when they were children and now they're like 40 something years old and they need that help now. So we're able to connect them to clinicians, support groups. It all varies. I mean, there's not a cookie cut.
Right. There's no cookie cutter.
No, there's no cookie cut. People come in with their own issues, their own trauma, and case managers just meet them where they're at, try to help them.
So how does a call come in? How does somebody reach out for help?
So people can get in contact with us by calling our 1-800 number. They can also go on our website. By the way, our 1-800 number is 1-800-505-9000. Or they can go on our website. There's a link, and they just go on that link. We ask for a couple of information, demographics, like their name, their phone number, date of birth. And as soon as we get that, we're able to connect them to a case manager.
So is it like anonymous? I mean, a lot of people have, you know, traumatization that they don't want to go public with, but they do need help. So how do you handle that when people want to remain confidential? Is it still a confidential referral?
Yes, all of this is confidential. This information gets entered into our database and all of this is confidential. And when the client and the victim starts having a relationship with the case manager, they choose who they want to disclose information to. So for instance, if the client was receiving services somewhere else and the case manager wanted to collaborate with that other entity, they would have to complete a release of information with that client to get permission. So everything is confidential and private.
So give me an example of some of the folks, you know, without obviously breaking confidentiality. Give me an example of some of the calls that come in, some of the inquiries that come in.
Well, I can remember a family that came from Washington State. They were fleeing because of domestic violence, and so they got here to Connecticut with nothing. I mean, no job, no housing. They're living in a shelter now. And so this is where, you know, when the case manager comes in, it's not just about connecting them to support groups to address the trauma of domestic violence, but also looking at what's going on in this person's life. Now they've lost their housing. Let's try to help them get into an apartment. Now they've lost an employment. Let's try to see how we can get some cash flowing, at least until we can try to help them get a job. So there's different things. We have a program called the SKY program. So if the children have been traumatized and they need to be screened, they can get easily screened by another program that we have that will connect them to a clinician within a couple of weeks.
It can be confusing for people, too, because you think child abuse, well, maybe we should contact DCF. How do you decide? You're kind of, like you said before, Yolanda, you're the umbrella, right?
Yes.
You know who can help with what. And sometimes you might even need to pull in multiple agencies depending on the situation, right?
Right, right.
So how does that work? How do you coordinate that? That must take a lot of work to coordinate with these other agencies, but they know you and they know you could do a good job.
Exactly. We actually get a lot of referrals from DCF. So the child abuse may have already been disclosed, and now we're here to support the family. Now we're here to support the child because DCF has already done their job with the family. If we get a new disclosure, if someone was to say, you know, and the case manager found out that a child was being abused in the home, we are obligated to report that to DCF. So that's something that the case manager will report to the client when they first meet, that we are obligated to report any evidence of child abuse or neglect.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Yolanda Ortiz, and she is the VOCA. What does VOCA stand for?
Victims of Crime Act.
Victim of Crimes Act, and you're the regional coordinator. And it says here when we did our research, too, that you have delivered services to over 100,000 families, and that's just on a yearly basis?
And that's actually not just with our VOCA program. That's actually combined with all of our programs. We have the Victims of Crime Case Management Program. We also have the SKY program, which is a program for screening young people for behavior health problems. We also have a PET program, which is a program that individuals who share children or going through a divorce, they have to go through this parenting program. Mm-hmm. So we administer that program statewide as well. And we also have the TANF program, which is a collaboration with the Department of Social Services, where we receive referrals from them to help individuals who've weaned out of financial assistance and need to get employment and become self-sufficient.
What's the biggest issue right now out there for individuals and families that's raising its ugly head? Is there anything at the top of the heap?
Housing. Housing is the biggest issue. There's not enough affordable housing for people out there. And so you have a lot of people who are living in shelters for whatever reason, and they're not able to get out of a shelter because they can't afford the apartments out there. So that's a big one for us.
Well, it's interesting. The legislative session just started up, and Governor Lamont has said, and a lot of legislators have said, that's going to be one of their top priorities is to make housing more affordable. Mm-hmm. So that must be music to your ears.
Yes, yes. Music to everybody's ears.
Everybody's ears. And, you know, and you have to advocate for this stuff, right? I mean, organizations like yours and your sister and brother organizations, you've got to let people know what other people need. Because sometimes when you're, you know, you're hitting the ceiling, you don't always look down to see what other people are going through.
Right.
What else is, let's talk a little bit about the human trafficking thing. Mm-hmm. For some reason, that just amazes me. But it's real. It's reality, and it's happening.
Yeah, it is happening. Actually, Connecticut is very popular with human trafficking and sex trafficking all the way from, you know, New York. We're just like, we're that East Coast line. And so they use us a lot for human trafficking. We don't get a lot of human trafficking referrals. We've seen an uptick, though. It doesn't mean that it's not happening in Connecticut because we do know it's happening. And so I think it's really important to get the VOCA information out there so that we can reach those individuals who are trapped in human trafficking. A lot of people don't even know that these services are available to them, but they're here.
So is it like that we see on the news, you know, where people are at Walmart or people are at a store shopping and they're taken. And then they're trafficked. I mean, is that how it starts?
It can start that way. There's been instances where I actually was at CVS a couple of weeks ago, and I thought that I saw something that was strange. I saw a older gentleman with a young lady, and she just didn't look like she was all the way there. And he was holding her hand. It just seemed like he was just guiding her everywhere. And so I reported that to the people at CVS because I was a little concerned. I mean, that could have been an instance there of human trafficking too. So I think that when you see something that just doesn't feel right, mm-hmm. doesn't look right, mm-hmm. let someone know because you could be saving someone's life.
Right. Did you ever find out if that was
No, I reported it. They were going to call the cops. I actually went outside and told them that the car was out there. So I did what I could. I was in the middle doing an errand, so I couldn't do more.
Yeah.
But I felt like I needed to at least tell somebody.
You know, and that's the old, you know, saying, if you see something, say something too, yeah. right? You know, I'm on, you know, all these community forums, and I'm hearing stories and reading stories every day about people that are feeling uncomfortable or think they notice somebody following them. You have to take that seriously.
Yeah.
But the real message here is that there's help if you or you know somebody or you're a victim of human trafficking, there's help. How do you assist these people? So once they put their name in, what's next?
Once we get your referral, we're going to connect you to a case manager. That case manager is going to call you within 72 business hours. They're going to take some information from you and they're going to start the process. There's a LifeWorks that's completed, and basically that just asks questions about your entire life. How's your housing doing? How's your mental health? How's your children doing? Do you need assistance with childcare? And from there, they're going to develop goals with that case manager. They're going to develop steps. Referrals are going to be made. And that case manager is going to work with that client all the way until they accomplish those goals.
Wow, what a resource. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll give out that. If you need to grab a pen or paper, we're going to give out the website and we'll give out the 800 number a couple of times throughout the course of this conversation. And again, we're speaking with Yolanda Ortiz. She is the VOCA Regional Coordinator. So another one of the most frequent calls, I would assume, is also domestic violence. Mm-hmm. That's also such a huge issue that so many people feel stuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got so much at stake. You know, it just, everybody's situation is different, right? But they may be the money makers. You maybe feel like you're financially stuck and take the abuse for longer than you should. So how do you lead and guide those domestic violence victims?
Well, I think that that first step is when you make that referral, just wanting to reach out to someone. That's one of the biggest steps that anyone in that situation can make, because you don't know what they're going through. There's a lot of fear. And so just making that step, making that phone call, just calling us and just seeing how we can help. And then trusting. Mm-hmm. Trusting the case manager, trusting that they have your best interests. They're going to listen to you. Mm-hmm. They're going to do what you want to do at your own pace. And just following through.
Who are these case managers and you know, what kind of background do they have to be able to help?
So all of our case managers work at all of our agencies that are under our network, all of our family services. So they're all stationed throughout the entire state.
Yeah, you have what, more than 100?
We have about 14 agencies in our network. Mm-hmm. And so our case managers, they work for those agencies. We fund their salaries, and so they do our work. All of our case managers are trained in numerous things, from domestic violence to trauma. Many of them work under clinical supervisors, so they have that clinical supervision. To address any of the immediate trauma that comes. Most of them are bilingual. They've been working in the field for many years, seasoned case managers. And so they're very confident that they can help victims of crime.
You've been in this business long enough that hopefully you've seen some success stories, mm-hmm. right, in some of these situations. Can you just kind of share and you know, back up and flash forward to how just making that phone call made such a big difference?
Well, I spoke about the young lady who moved from Washington State, mm-hmm. but we also have other successes, and I'll just bring up one victimization that we don't see too many, and we were just talking about the human trafficking. There was a case manager that was working with a human trafficking victim, and they were able to collaborate with another organization organization here in Connecticut, and they were able to get the woman out of the state and completely help her with her identity, change her identity, and move her out of state. And so now she's living a very healthy, happier life, no longer in fear of bumping into her traffickers. Her children are safe. And so I think that's a really great success story right there.
You know, you just think about in all these categories, what all these people have and are going through, right? And to know that, but you know, you say, well, who's gonna pay for this? Who's gonna, you know, what I'm leaving, like I think of myself, right? If I was told back in the day when my kids were at home and I needed to get out of there, I think, well, how can I leave all this behind? You know, how can I even do that? What about my kids? What about their school? What about their clothes? I mean, you address all that?
Yeah, we try to address all of that. We try to connect them to the resources, trying the supports to address all of those things. One thing I'd say is that don't allow your fear to keep you in a situation that is unhealthy, that's not healthy for your children, that's not how you want to live. And you know, I'll just share a personal experience. I grew up in a house where I witnessed domestic violence, and I used to pray as a child to not see that. And I knew that I didn't want to live in a situation like that. And I knew that that is not what I wanted for my life. And I was so proud of my mom that after years of domestic violence, she finally got out of it. It's not easy. I've stayed at many domestic violence shelters in my life. And I could say today that my mom is my biggest hero. And because of her, I am who I am. And I'm here to tell everyone that you do not have to be a victim. You can get out. It's scary. You're going to worry about the money. You're going to worry about the children. You'll recoup all of that and more because you'll be in a happier place.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
You know, because it just shows that this isn't just a job for you. You know, this comes from on the job, unfortunately, experience. And you don't want people to go through that. And as a victim, you know, you can take that and it can bring you down for the rest of your life unless you get the proper support and the proper help to help you move on.
And that's why we're here, to get you that proper support so you can move on.
Yeah. I even told my kids, you know, I'm in recovery now for, let's see what I got, 13 years.
Good for you.
You know, and they went through a lot during that time. But I said, you know what, you can either take that and use that as an excuse to just not make it through the rest of your life, mm-hmm. or you can use it to make you stronger, build that foundation, and know what you don't want for the rest of your life. And
right.
Thank God I'm present and I'm here today.
Yes.
But, you know, it's one of those things where it just helps to get the help. And that really is the bottom line here. We want to give out the phone number again, is 1-800-505-9000. That's an easy one. 1-800-505-9000. And then we also talked to Yolanda about the intake form. And if you want more information on that, you can go to this website. It's ctfsa.org. Now, if I do that right, I should say C as in cat, T as in Tom, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, A.org.
And when you land on the website, look for the program that says VOCA, and right on the top, you're going to see it says referral. Click on that, and it'll lead you right to the referral form.
How does your agency survive? Where do the dollars come to support these families?
Well, the dollars come from different places. For the VOCA program, those are federal dollars. Every state gets VOCA dollars. There's about 40-something organizations here in the state of Connecticut that get VOCA dollars. We kind of stand out. We are a statewide organization, and we service everyone, all of the victimizations. And then for our other programs, for instance, for our TANF program, we have DSS dollars. So it all depends on the program.
And there's never enough, right? There's never enough money. And you're a nonprofit organization, correct?
We're a nonprofit. And there's never enough, actually, because, you know, there's people that come with many, many needs. Talk about basic needs. You know, we can help them. But then how if they need mattresses? How if they need a security deposit? So there's always a need for more funding.
So how can people help? How can people that might not need your services but want to help people, how can they help support you?
They can help by sharing the VOCA program with everyone and anyone that they know.
Do you fundraise?
No, we don't fundraise.
All right. Well, you know, thank goodness for those federal dollars, you know, because that's what's keeping this program flowing and going. So you talked a little bit earlier, Yolanda, about the one of the biggest issues is affordable housing. How can that, if you could solve that problem, what would you do?
Wow. I would have to see, I would have to look at the data and see, well, how many people can't afford housing here in Connecticut and how much affordable housing do we actually have to make? Because they always talk about affordable housing, but I don't see enough being. I see a lot of nice apartments in downtown areas being put up that go from 1500 and up. Mm-hmm. Where's the affordable housing? So I think really look at the data and really see where's the money going and are we making enough housing for the people? That's how I would look at it.
Well, and I've seen a lot now of new developments that are called mixed use, right? Where it has to contain so much affordable housing. And then
usually it's a small percentage, though. It's a nice building with all these perks.
But that's how they get through the process.
Three apartments that are
And that's how they get through the process. We're also going to offer affordable housing, but it's just a small fraction of. And then you've got the public pushback, right?
So that's what they need to look at. They need to look at, you know, we're giving these people this money to develop this housing in our cities, but you're only giving us four apartments for low income.
It's not
adding up.
Nobody looks at that. And then you get some community pushback too. You know, they don't want it in their backyard. They don't want it in their town. There's also, I mean, what do you say to those people?
You could be one of those people that need one of those apartments.
You know,
one day.
And sometimes it's just a paycheck away from that, right?
Right.
Or it's just a slap in the face away from that. You never know when your situation could change.
Absolutely.
So what are you guys up to now? What are anything that you're working on currently that you want people to know about?
No, we just want people to know that we're here. We're strong. The VOCA program is here to help everyone in the state of Connecticut. It's not based on income. The crime could have happened 30 years ago or could have happened 6 months ago. We have a competent seasoned case managers ready to help you every step of the way.
Is it 24/7 availability for help?
It's not 24/7 availability for help, but the referral form is available 24/7. So if you wanted to go on our website and fill out the referral form, as soon as we got on in that morning, we would get it.
So the people that come to you don't have to pay for these services?
Services are completely free. And a lot of times when they're referred to a clinician, most people have health insurance. If not, our case managers are here to help them get health insurance.
So you must be busy.
We stay very busy.
What's a day in the life at VOCA look like?
Oh, my goodness. A case manager or a regional coordinator?
Well, yours.
Okay, a regional coordinator. I might have a couple of meetings in the morning, and then I'm in a database to see how many referrals we get. We might get 10 referrals in about 30 minutes. We have to assign them. We have to make sure that our case managers are connecting to our clients. I mean, it's just busy, busy, busy.
Well, and I also want to mention that you are an Army veteran.
Yes,
so thank you for that. And so I can see where your military background probably plays into your role at VOCA as well, does it not?
I think so. You could probably ask my supervisor. She'd probably say yes.
You're very disciplined, but more than that, Yolanda, you're very passionate about what you do. So what is your hope for the future?
My hope for the future is just to help as many people as possible and make this VOCA program the biggest and strongest program in the state of Connecticut. That's what I'm hoping.
And more people need to know about it.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing this show, right?
Exactly.
The
word out.
Right. I met you guys at a nonprofit conference where I was speaking, and you said, hey, can we come on the show and talk about our program? And we'd love to do that. We'd love to do that to give, you know, agencies a voice that hopefully gets to the end user, which is, in this case, the victims of so many different crimes out there.
Right.
You know, and so thank you to your entire staff and all of your partners for what you do, because it's one of those things, you make the world a better place.
You're welcome, and thank you for having us here.
Of course. All right, let's give out that phone number and that website. So again, the number is 1-800-505-9000. When you call that number, there will be a person on the other end of that line.
There'll be a live person picking up the phone.
Right. But if that person is assisting someone else, then you might have to leave a message, which is okay. Or you can go to that intake form and in the privacy and the timing that's right for you, and that is ctfsa.org.
Yes, and you could do that from your phone.
That's right. So get in a safe place, do what you got to do, and take care of it. And it might not just be the victim. You might know somebody that you think needs this assistance. And sometimes that's where, because people don't know where to go. In a lot of these situations, they just feel helpless and hopeless, but there is hope.
Yeah, there's hope.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.